from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester. Glad to be here with you. It is an exciting time because it's a Friday, TGIF. The weather's changed, not so hot. We're getting a little bit of rain. Here we go. And we've got a great show lined up for you today. There's a big, eventful day in Paris at the Olympics on Thursday. We'll get into some of that. The Royals getting back in action after a day off today. After a day off yesterday, I should say, in a weird little two-game series. We'll get you all revved up for that. And, of course, the Chiefs play tomorrow. And you'll hear that on the Odyssey family here over on KNSS. So lots of good stuff there to get to. We've got giveaways galore today, by the way. We've got three giveaways for you. A chance to hang out with Tim Tebow. A chance to go to the Wichita Gun and Knife Show, the Mac Gun Show. And some HTO. So we'll get through all of that today as well, taking your calls on the IHOP hotline, which is brought to you by IHOP. Bring it back. It's all you can eat pancakes deal through September 15th. That number is 869-1240. Jad has that for you. We've got you on our video streams as well, Facebook, YouTube, and X. And of course, on 12 News Connected. Glad to be here with you. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I thought about you this morning with it being so nice outside. Are you doing your daily walk still? Does that happen before the sun comes up?
And not,
I mean, it was a great morning to do that.
It was. I have to wait till the kids go to school. Once the kids are back in school, then I can get into the walk. I thought about it too. I don't remember what I think. I was letting the dog out. It's letting the dog out. It was about 60 degrees or something. I let the dog out, and she takes like four steps and just looks at me like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's cold out here. And I'm like, oh my God. Like how we're not the only sissies that acclimate in the animal kingdom or that don't acclimate. You'd have thought there was 12 inches of snow outside the way she looked at me after she took the first two steps outside to go to the bathroom this morning. But it would have been a great morning for a walk. Yeah. Crisp. Like a little fall teaser we have here over the next couple of days. So looking forward to just like getting outside and soaking that in for sure. For sure. Crestview Country Club, of course, great supporter of the program. I went out last night and tried to play well. I played well earlier in the week for 9 and then did not play well last night. And I smashed my finger with a golf club somehow. I don't even know how, but it was nice even last night. Like, you could start to feel it. Like, I didn't, you know, I didn't need to put on sunscreen. Like, it was fine. It was a beautiful night out of golf. And, you know, it's a race against the clock now to be able to get 9 in before the sun goes down. So it's just one option for you out there, Crestview folks or people that might be interested. The twilight golf is good, but it's the twilight is coming a little sooner than it was a few weeks ago.
And dare I say, it feels slightly like football weather outside.
Right now it does, yeah.
You know, like I thought that when I stepped outside today. I'm like, man, we are getting that much closer to football season, starting to feel that way. Now, I know we're going to get back up into like,
yeah, it was like 95 degrees last week, yesterday. Yeah.
You know, but still, like this morning, I'm like, man, I could go for a big pot of chili right now, right?
You better believe it. I can't wait for football season, but I don't want it to go too fast either. I do enjoy the summer, so I hate the winter. So there is a bit of, as much as I look forward to the fall, it does mean winter is closer, and I do despise the winter. So I don't want it to go too fast. I'm just fine with the summer. I'm fine in, you know, shorts and a t-shirt every day. All right. I think we start with the Olympics, Tommy, honestly. So yesterday, there were like 19 different opportunities to just like lock in yesterday. You had the, you know, the Lyles situation, the Noah Lyles situation. He has been a lightning rod this Olympics as he takes bronze in the 200 after all that talk. Well, we find out he has COVID, trying to start to run a sprint, and he has asthma, by the way. So that couldn't have been a pleasant experience for him. That was a big talker yesterday. Team USA men's basketball, I'm going to tell you want to talk about get fired up for Team USA. Ooh, boy, that was incredible, that game yesterday. From almost catastrophe yesterday to a big, massive fourth quarter comeback to Team USA, getting it done behind all the old guys, which made it even better. Seeing those guys get so fired up for Team USA, you can't help but get fired up at that. It was a really cool day at the Olympics yesterday.
Yeah, it was. And really, it looked pretty grim for Team USA basketball for a good portion of that game yesterday. But that, you know, shows you the way that they came back, the way that they won. I mean, it tells you that you've got like the best basketball players in the world clearly on that team. There's no doubt about that. And so that's always been, I think, the thing about, you know, Team USA basketball is, from a talent perspective, from top to bottom, and the way that that roster is constructed, you've got more talent than any other country,
sure,
bar none. So it's always, can that talent live up to the expectations where they're far and away better than everybody else? From a talent on paper perspective, they don't always perform to that, and they didn't for a good portion of that game yesterday, but then locked in and they were able to get the job done.
I honestly, like, I think there's something like the TBT to it as well, though. Yes, there's all that talent, but you're asking a team that gets a week, 2 weeks to practice together to go and compete against guys who play together all year with a literal different set of rules. I mean, they're playing with a different ball, different rules, all of that with the FIBA stuff. So, I mean, I think there's something to why, like, teams with more talent don't ever win the TBT, because these other teams have done it for longer with different rules. They're more acclimated to that style. And I think sometimes we take that for granted with Team USA. I mean, the best player in the world is on the other team there. And like it, and those guys have been together for a long time. And when they play France, you're going to have, you know, the next potential GOAT on the roster with a bunch of other young dudes who are really, really talented. So not that Team USA shouldn't win these games. They certainly should win these games. Of course they should win these games. But I do think sometimes we expect the men to perform like the women, and that's a little unfair just because the, you know, what we see internationally, I mean, you're asking a different set of rules. I don't think the talent disparity is the same in the men's game as it is the women. And on the women's side, we're just so daggum more talented than everybody. It's not even close. I think it's a little closer on the men's side. I mean, we've seen this. You remember the Redeem team and all of these things, but it makes it for awesome. And, you know, like, I had they won by 20 points, I probably would have had that game on the background and not even paid 2 seconds of attention to it. So it did make it more interesting yesterday, and it did get me fired up. I mean, those guys, you know, LeBron and I are the same age. And I'm just like the gray in his beard and seeing him hit the Jets, you know, every once in a while, seeing Kevin Durant sort of take over in the fourth quarter. Steph Curry was lights out and just was basically like, I felt like Steph Curry was kind of the, you know, the Kobe in that moment. Like, I'm not going to let us lose this game. It was just, it was really, really good. You had Embiid being able to get after Jokic a little bit. And he was good. Look, the Joker was, he was fine. Like, he just, he didn't have enough. It was awesome. I loved every second of it. I thought it was incredible. And I hope France gives us a good game too.
Can I tell you one thing? And this may be classified as a hot take. I don't particularly care. It's my opinion. I believe this, that I'm at the point now where I'm more impressed with LeBron and what he's doing in the Olympics, and especially what he did yesterday, than what he's currently doing in the NBA. And like that, I lock in more to that than what is going on with him with the Lakers.
I could say that for every one of those athletes, though.
But I don't know if I would say that for every single one of them. Like, I'm still, I'm really like, I am going to probably follow Kevin Durant more in the NBA than I am in the Olympics. And I know that Durant has had a really good Olympic Games, you know, thus far, especially early on. You know, I'm more interested in what Joel Embiid does in the NBA than I am interested in what he's doing in the Olympics. Same thing on other countries' teams. Like, I'm going to follow what Nikola Jokic does in the NBA more than I'm going to follow what he's doing in the Olympics. But for LeBron, I mean, the guy had a triple-double yesterday. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not a massive LeBron fan. I never really have been. I mean, I absolutely respect his talent and what he's done. And I think he's one of, if not the best to ever play the game. Don't get me wrong. But he's not somebody that I walk into and cheer on and I'm consistently following. I'm following more of what he's doing in these Olympics, representing Team USA at his age, his longevity, being able to do this at a high level. And, you know, like you mentioned, he's our age, and the guy has a triple double, and it's he, what, and I know Steph Curry was a big part of it too, fueling the comeback, but LeBron fueled that comeback. He was the large reason, one of the main reasons why Team USA is now moving on. And so I find myself cheering for LeBron at a level that I don't usually cheer for LeBron in. And I'm more excited about what he's doing this year in Team USA than maybe I've ever been at any point in his NBA career.
Are you a LeBron fan? Are you a LeBron fan, hater, neither?
No, I wouldn't classify. I'm neither. I'm ambivalent towards him. I respect his talent. I absolutely recognize that he is one of, if not the best basketball players of all time. I try to not get pulled into the LeBron Jordan debate of, you know, who the GOAT is.
Sure.
I mean, I'm going to be a little biased because I was a massive Jordan fan growing up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do respect him. I just don't, I've never really locked into LeBron. And so, you know, going back to what I just said, watching him in the Olympics, I'm locked into him on a level I never have been in his career.
I do that and have done that historically for any player that's on Team USA. Like, I was, you know, I was, I'll call it a hater as a kid, just because it was kind of fun to not to be the other side of Jordan, right? And kind of root against him all the time. Same thing with Kobe. Kobe played for a team I really didn't like. That didn't help. But when it came to the Olympics, they were my favorite. That killer instinct translating there. I have always gravitated to LeBron a little bit. Same age. I think the style of his game is so underappreciated. I just think athletically, he's one of the great athletes we've ever seen. We got a glimpse of that. You would get glimpses of that last night, right? When he would just explode to the rim. There was that court. There was a play late in the game where he, you know, kind of chose to lay it up, where in his prime, he would have thrown it through that guy's skull. Like, he's such an explosive athlete. I've always gravitated to him. I don't care as much about the off the court stuff because I don't pay that much attention to it anyway. But I could say that for all of these guys, unless they play for, I don't even really have an NBA team. Like, the Team USA thing, like, I love it because even Kevin Durant, who, like, sometimes, and especially in the last 6 years or so, it has felt like there has been a major disconnect in the usual patriotism and what we would normally see. That is not the case. Like, this team wants it. They're flag bearers, like, all of it. It makes you feel patriotic, and that's what I think the Olympics are all about. And so I really like it. And I always feel that way in these sorts of competitions. So I really enjoyed it, not just from LeBron, certainly from LeBron, but from Kevin Durant, who's, you know, sometimes a little annoying off the court and whatever. And Steph Curry never is. Steph Curry's always a superstar at everything he does. But seeing those older guys want it that bad reminds me of some of the great Olympic moments over the years. And so I love it. And again, I want France to give him a little bit of a game. I don't want to see him go beat France by 30. And they might, but I don't want them to. I'd rather see it be a really competitive game, because that was, you know, Paul asked me this week, I think it was, what my favorite moment of the Olympics was. And at the time, it was that pommel horse from the dude with the glasses, and I can't think of his last name. It was yesterday now. That absolutely topped it as far as how fired up I have been for the Olympics. It was Team USA basketball yesterday, for sure. That was fun. It was awesome, and it was good to see the old guys getting it done like that. But they do. They play France. I'm not sure when that is. I think it might be Saturday. But that'll be a fun one to watch, because you got Wemby and all these French stars. I mean, they look at the draft this past year. I would imagine the old guys come out with their hair on fire for this game. But, you know, Wimby's a unicorn, and he'll be interesting and tough to stop. What'd you make of, before we turn the page, we'll take a break and go to some other things. What'd you make of the Noah Lyles? He's been the most polarizing athlete of these Olympics, for sure. A lot of talk. Some people think he's arrogant. I think there is arrogance involved in his, we'll call it a shtick, but I think it's intentional, and I don't mind it from my sprinters. Like, sprinters are like wide receivers. I need a little attitude, you know, in my sprinters, and he certainly had it, and boy, he talked, and he did not back it up because he got COVID. That's, I guess, when you talk, though, like, you run all these risks. Like, nobody's saying, like, when you're guaranteeing wins and all that, you don't get asterisks. You don't get excuses. If you don't get it done, like, that's a part of the risk of talking that trash. And I do not mind trash talk. I don't.
The pump was primed, though, because of the way that things had gone earlier in the Olympics, you know, and he's involved in that photo finish. And there's kind of a little bit of controversy surrounding that. And you know, and I don't know how much you followed that particular story where the NBC announcers gave the gold to the Jamaican sprinter, but really Noah Lyles won. And it was like within just a fraction of a second based on the way that they were leaning to get over the finish line. And so there was that controversy anyway. And, you know, so the pump had been primed for even more controversy and drama surrounding Noah Lyles. You've got to have in Olympic games, you've got to have storylines. And if it's just success, if it's just performing at an extremely high level, that's great. That's solid. You know, everybody's going to enjoy that. I mean, think of like Simone Biles, for example, and just what she's been able to do in these Olympic games. That's great. It's awesome. But a lot of people, I mean, every time you talk about Simone Biles, you have to reference what happened 4 years ago. Like, there's a storyline that goes along with the winning. I think that's what Noah Lyles has been trying to create around him, is storylines and narratives and keeping at the top of, you know, everybody's conversation about what's been happening with him. And this situation with him getting COVID and not backing up his talk, regardless of whether or not that's a positive thing for him, it keeps him at the top of everybody's mind. So even though he didn't end up with the gold yesterday because of COVID or whatever, I think he still accomplished maybe what he's been setting out to accomplish all along, and that is to stay in the narrative. Because once these Olympics are over, who's going to be talking about Noah Lyles? I mean, that's just the way that it is.
Well, we will be when
so
LA
if he can
rolls
stay top of mind forever, you know, well, yeah, but like, you know, if he can stay top of mind for as long as possible, even if he doesn't win, I think that achieves that goal.
It does. And to further that point, think about Usain Bolt, right? He's really, you know, of our lifetime, he is the sprinter that was always in the news. Why? Because he was, you know, he was charismatic. He drew attention to him. And Noah Lyles is trying to accomplish the same thing, but you got to be able to back it up. And he got COVID, and that sucks, and it's really unfortunate, and he's overcome a ton, and I think he has a really cool story, and I think he's going to, you know, be able to follow in LA. But that's what happens. And, you know, he ran it. I give him all the credit in the world, but he could have easily bowed out. Could you imagine having asthma, and then if you've had COVID, if you've had a bad case of COVID, getting that right before you're trying to run a 200-meter dash against the best athletes in the world? There is a part of me that thinks it's pretty impressive he still got bronze, but He guaranteed gold. But he's been a really interesting character of the Olympics. It doesn't bother me at all. I like him. A couple others. We got America all over the place. You've got in just historic hurdling from McLaughlin Lavrone, who set her own record, which was really cool. There was a long jumper with ties to K-State, coaching at K-State, that did a really good job. It was a cool day at the Olympics, if you missed any of it. You want to play catch-up on it. When we come back, let's start with the Royals. We'll look ahead to this series against the Cardinals. We've also got the Chiefs getting ready to get going in their preseason. We're going to talk about a big charity event coming up next week as well, coming up in our second hour. We'll tell you all about that, your chances there. In fact, as we mentioned that, let's do this. Let's start with our newest giveaway here. We're going to get you going with a text-in contest for your chance to win Mac Gun show tickets. Simply text the keyword Mac, that's M-A-C. So that's the keyword, M-A-C, to the number 20357. The Wichita Gun and Knife Show, hosted by Mac Shows, is scheduled to take place September 14th and 15th at Century 2 from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., you can enter once per day through August 12th at 9 a.m. Message and data rates apply. Again, text Mac, M-A-C, to the number 20357 for a chance to win two tickets to the Wichita Gun and Knife Show. We'll be back. More Sports Daily right after this.
.75 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you on this Friday. Friday, TGIF, it's good stuff. TGIF, speaking of TGIF, were you a TGIF guy, Tommy?
TGIF as far as the old shows on ABC back in the day?
Yeah, I got my Jesse and the Ripper shirt on here.
Yeah, of course, Full House, yeah. Family Matters.
Yeah, I got
you've got a Jesse and the Ripper shirt. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Like John Stamos and his hair, unbeatable, right? Unbeatable.
Yeah.
Big Jesse and the Rippers fan.
When I was a kid, I was a big Olsen Twins fan. If you catch my drift.
I do. I got you. Like when they kind of became stars, like teenage stars.
No, like when I was a kid and they were kids.
Oh, like little.
Yeah, okay. Like I had a crush on Michelle Tanner from Full House when I was a kid.
Yeah.
We're the same age. Like the Olsen twins.
I know.
So it's not like I was like an adult. Like, you know what? Like
I understand.
When I was a kid and watched Full House, correct, I thought the Olsen twins were cute.
Yeah. That was the generation too, where like I remember my cousins or any girl, like all the child stars, and they'd like make them models and they had those posters up. It's a weird time.
Yeah,
maybe that still happens. I don't know. It was a weird time though to have like modeling pictures of young people, but they were stars, man. Those sitcoms were a hit. TGIF was a big hit.
When I was a kid, I modeled my hairstyle back when I had hair. I modeled my hairstyle after Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell. I got myself the
you
mousse.
You mean you tried to?
I tried to. I got the mousse, I had it all puffed up and everything.
You ain't replicating that hair. You ain't replicating
that. I had more hair then than
I do
now.
Did you bleach your hair?
I didn't bleach it. No, but my hair was pretty blonde.
Have you ever bleached your hair?
I never have. Have you? Do you ever have like...
I had frosted tips one time.
Did you really have frosted
tips? But it was homemade. We did it like... Because everybody had them, and those were back in the days of that like rock hard gel, and you would just kind of put it in your hair. So I was like, and we lived out on the farm, and I had to like hide and do this. But yeah, for like one time, I let my sister do that for me, and that was it. It only lasted one time. It was fine. I didn't mind it. I wonder if that'll ever come back. By the way. I know everybody like now the thing is for like the mullet is back. And so is like all bleached, just absolute bleached hair. Those are the two things I see from like high schoolers. Most of the time, it feels like they're just trying to do it to be funny. We thought frosted tips were cool, right? Like that wasn't like trying to be funny. Like you thought that was, yeah, puka shell necklaces and they made out of hemp. I had a hemp necklace. I had a pretty sweet hemp necklace going. It was a good time. And I don't know that any of those styles are coming back, but that'll be just fine with me to let us just have that one. Don't replicate it. Cause we're seeing some of this stuff like Doc Martens. I'm seeing, you remember JNCOs? You remember those horrible, horrible things? Those nasty baggy, like maroon jeans. Those are never coming back.
I never owned a pair, but I remember one time I went, I think back to school shopping, with, you know, my family or whatever. And we ended up, I really wanted a pair, I think, of JNCO jeans. And I remember trying them on. And that was maybe the first time, I was maybe 13, 14 years old, tried a pair on in the dressing room. And I remember that was the first time that I had like a mature thought in my head where I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, I look ridiculous. And I don't care if this is the style. I hate this. I don't want them. I'm not buying them.
Yeah, they're terrible. And they're kind of coming back. I've seen them out and around. I've seen them. And I don't know how this is happening. Please, parents out there, if you have kids, do one of two things. Buy them JNCOs and take 1,000 pictures so you can show them how ridiculous they were later so we don't repeat this mistake in another 20, 30 years. Or don't let them look that ridiculous when they walk out the door in those things. I would let my kids wear them if they wanted to, and I would take lots of pictures of how terrible they are. Anywho, the Royals are getting back underway tonight, Tommy. There wasn't really anything happening of significance for them yesterday. Cleveland off, Minnesota. Basically, the American League got the night off, it felt like. So not a lot has changed in the standings. And what you have now is an upcoming series. It's a weird one. It almost feels like, honestly, it's like two individual games. St. Louis has cooled significantly since the last time the Royals saw them. They're not bad, but they're not good either. You know what I mean? Like they're not Boston, but they're not the White Sox. They're good. They're in the mix, I think, in the National League still. They're a couple of games over 500. But I don't think it's a series at home by any means that you're like concerned with the Royals. Let me just simplify it even more. The Royals are and should be better than the Cardinals. So what do you do with a two-game series? I almost think it's like two individual games. I don't even know how you can't really build momentum with two-game series. You just have these two random games on the schedule with days off mixed all around them, but you can kind of unload the tank in those two games because you get another day off then Sunday. So all hands on deck almost for these games.
Yeah, I mean, they did play a two-game series against the Cardinals before the All-Star break. Remember, there was a rainout, so they played a doubleheader on one day, swept that doubleheader, and that was the only day they faced the Cardinals this season in two games in the same day. So you've got kind of something similar with this two-game quick set over 2 days against St. Louis. I think you can continue a little bit of momentum because they were able to do that with that doubleheader sweep last month. And so you can do something similar to that in this regard this weekend. I'm looking at, you know, of course, tonight's game, it looks like Michael Lorenzen is going to get the start for the Royals. And this is part of the reason or a large reason why he's in Kansas City right now. It's to be able to come in situations like this in the opening game of a short two-game set against a Cardinals team that, yeah, while they're scuffling a little bit, they're still over 500. They're still in the hunt for a playoff spot in the National League. You've got to try to find a way to shut them down. The good thing for Lorenzen in this game is that, you know, he pitched in the first time that he had played for the Royals in that game last weekend against Detroit. It was a no decision. Of course, the Royals ultimately lost the game in extra innings, but he did pitch pretty well. And you felt pretty confident about his futures, I think, in a Royals uniform as the season rolls on. 5 2/3, only one earned run given up. He struck out five in that game against the Tigers. And I would actually put the Tigers about at the same level as the Cardinals.
I think the Cardinals are better than the Tigers.
They might be slightly better than the Tigers, but I don't put either one of them. Like, I would say they're both average teams. Maybe Detroit is slightly below average after they traded several of their players away before the trade deadline, but I would say they're relatively similar.
Now, I will say this for the Cardinals, and you know, Bob Lutz may be angry with us right now. They're 2.5 games out of their wild card. They are over 500. Their run differential hasn't been particularly good, but got to remember too, like, they got off to an awful start and then they surged and were white hot. Now everything is sort of averaging out a little bit. But if you go and look, this is not one of those series, I don't think, where you look at it for the Royals and be like, okay, they got to dominate this series. Like, I could see this going 1,000 different directions. You're at the back end of your rotation if you're Kansas City. You need the offense to show up is what you need to happen. Lorenzen, you get to unload the bullpen here. So I think about Lorenzen, we're going to get him, you know, as a fifth starter. I would say that I feel quite a bit more confident in him as a fifth starter than I do, than I did Alec Marsh. Not that Marsh hasn't done a great job. Marsh has done such a great job this year. That's not it. I just feel more confident in Lorenzen. And you get into a game like this coming off of an off day and knowing you've got an off day Sunday, what do you need Lorenzen to realistically get you through? I mean, you kind of just need him to get you into the fifth inning, don't you? You know that Bubic can give you multiple innings today. You know that Ursa can give you multiple innings today if you need it. So it would be, I mean, it would be nice if Lorenzen just had a great start, but they may have a quicker trigger than they normally would. We'll have to see. But it's on the offense in this series. You're going up against two pitchers that haven't been very good. Your starters have been, who have carried you through this season, seem a little tired. So let the offense pick them up this time. And I will say this too, as we've seen the starters get tired, because that's what it looks like to me, Tommy, getting 2 days off like this and being able to just keep, because they're not going to skip starts. They're going to keep pushing everybody back. It's pretty advantageous timing, I think, on that to get really, I mean, would we call it 2 extra days rest for all the starters? I mean, that could be significant over time.
Yeah, I think so too. So if you've got Lorenzen in the game tonight, Lugo on Saturday, is that the way that it's projected out?
I believe Waka
on Saturday. So really that top of the rotation, Lugo, Reagan, Singer. You don't have to worry about, like, they get basically a full week, almost a full week of rest. Those top guys in the rotation, because,
and it lines them up against a road series in Minnesota too.
It does. And that's extremely important. I mean, yep. You know, Singer pitched the finale against the Red Sox on Wednesday, right? So then presumably Singer wouldn't pitch again until Wednesday. So it'd be a full week of rest, for those top guys in the rotation. And I do think that that's extremely important, especially this time of year, when you are starting to get that fatigue, and that's natural. It sets in for pitchers this time of year for sure. I also think it's important. I do think that weather plays a little bit of a role in this. You're going on the road, but you're going to Minnesota. So it's going to be obviously climate controlled and all of that, where, you know, I think it'd be different this time of year as opposed to going, you know, to another location that's going to, you know, maybe mess with you a little bit more as far as the heat and exhaustion, and that fatigue probably sets in earlier. So I do think that there is something to be said for the extra rest that they're getting both yesterday and Sunday, because then you have that really great time to reset that rotation, start with the top of the rotation again with Lugo and Reagan's and Singer as you're going to a pretty crucial road series against Minnesota.
Pretty crucial. I mean, it's critical. It doesn't matter. It's just you get how many think about this as far as good fortune rules. How many teams in baseball in the middle of a playoff chase like this, where every game is so critical, could afford to not skip starts and let your, you know what I mean? Like, not just allow these extra days off to help. It's such a, I don't think there are very many that could do it right in the middle of this. They would skip those starts for the back end of their rotation to keep their big guns on regular rest. And it's not just that the Royals don't have to do that. I don't know that they want to, and that's such a luxury. Like, yes, definitely Lugo and Reagan's and Singer have been all three at times ace level pitchers this year. You're just really not losing much, especially lately when you get to Waka and Lorenzen at your 4 and 5. That's why I like this team so much to be able to close it out and get there, is because of things like that. What has plagued them a little bit lately? I think it's been that their starters have looked tired. So now you get to this part of the schedule that falls the way that it does, and you don't have to adjust anything. Oh, good. Look, everybody's tired. You get 2 extra days of rest. And I would bet you this, the next time we see Lugo and Reagans, and Singer's a little harder for me to get a grasp on. I'll bet they look sharper in their next starts than they did in their last starts because of the extra rest. And if that is the case and we see that, boy, that's going to give you a very good feeling down the stretch. And that's when you could potentially use Marsh occasionally, call him up, and then get those guys an extra day of rest. Because how much then do you lose with Marsh as your 6th starter? You know what I mean? Like, it is such an advantage for them down the stretch to have that sort of pitching depth in the rotation.
Yeah, and don't forget that they get another day off this coming Thursday. So they play that 3-game set against the Twins on the road. Yeah. Then they get another day off before they go to Cincinnati. So you've got to take advantage of that.
That's wild.
You end up having 3 days of rest in a little over a week. So you've got to take advantage of that for sure. They get another Thursday off the next week. That would be August 15th that they get, or August 22nd. They get that day off. And then from there, they play every day until the middle of September. So you've got to take advantage of that now. You've got to make sure that you're, you know, this is an opportunity for Matt Quatrero to, if he needs to, I don't know if you really need to reset your rotation or, you know, figure out exactly how you want to have things, you know, in order playing out for a while. But then on top of that, it gives your bullpen a chance to rest up. There are some players that probably need to get a little healthier, you know, down this stretch. Take advantage of it now before you get into that really grueling part.
We'll talk more about it. Betting, looking at that, the 2 games, we'll dig in a little bit in the second hour there. When we come back, we'll get you ready for the Chiefs this weekend. We'll begin our conversation around the NFL. All kinds of good stuff coming for you. It is Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you on this Friday. Glad to be here with you on this Friday, getting you ready for a weekend that features NFL football, Tommy. We ready for this. The Chiefs getting things opened up. We know now that we're going to get more from the starters, at least based on what Andy Reid said. Now, I went back and looked, and it was in the preseason opener last year. It was only a series. Now, Andy Reid said that they'll play the first quarter, the starters. What I don't know and what I haven't gone back is to what did Andy Reid say before the first preseason game last year? Did he say the same thing and then only go a series, or is he trying something new? Because I will say there are, but there would have been last year too. You know, last year these receivers would have needed work. And you were a little more short up maybe at left tackle at what you thought. And at that time, we probably thought it was going to be Juwan Taylor. Maybe not. He may have already lost that out in camp. I can't recall. But if they give you a quarter, and I don't have any problem with that, by the way, I'd like to see it. I think I'd like to see it, to see him play a whole quarter. Wouldn't you like to see 2 series out of Mahomes and those receivers just kind of see what's out there? And it's hard because they don't show you a lot. I mean,
yeah, I'm good. I don't need to see that. I'm good. I don't.
Hollywood and Worthy are going to be a big part of what they do. I'm impatient, and it's probably just me being impatient. But again, let me clarify this and put an asterisk on it. I don't care what coaches do in the preseason, right? Like, there is risk of injury in practice, just like there's, I mean, it's football. So I don't subscribe.
Yeah, but don't you, I mean, I think that the risk factor exponentially grows when you are performing at game speed.
I don't know. I would love to see the data on that. The one thing that changes is quarterbacks don't get hit in practice. That's the one. Other than that, guys get hurt in practice all the time. I mean, how many injuries have you already seen in practice this year?
I mean, there have been a lot, and there are things that are fluky and that you can, you know, never predict, and it doesn't matter how it works. I mean, keep in mind, and I off the top of my head can't remember who the 49ers player was, but remember the 49ers guy that like tore his Achilles running onto the field during the Super Bowl, like just collapsed and felt like things are fluky. Things like that are going to happen regardless if you're playing in a game or you're practicing or, you know, you're walking in your house. Like things happen. But I'll tell you, when I am excited to see Mahomes connect with Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice, week number one against the Ravens, that's when I'm excited about seeing them connecting. I don't need to see them connect in this preseason game that means nothing against Jacksonville.
Look, Andy Reid knows better than any of us what the team needs and how much they need to do anything. So I am totally fine deferring, and I'm not going to second guess it. I'm not, because he's won back-to-back Super Bowls. He's been doing this at a high level. He's a Hall of Fame coach. If he thinks they need the work, they need the work. It's unfortunate, but it's always the unfortunate part of football are the injuries, right? We just sort of sit here and you hold your breath. You hold your breath, right? Like you don't want anything bad to happen basically for the month of July and August until you get to games. But that's practice, that's anything. And we just, we'll wait and see. But if they do give us two series, I think it'll be fun to watch. I don't think it will be much. I won't be surprised at all if it is not, in fact, two series, and it is, in fact, one series, and Andy Reid says that's enough. Maybe you just work, you know, Worthy in with the twos. I think you could probably do that. I think all of us, you and I, certainly want to see Carson Wentz. I'd like to see a healthy dose of Carson Wentz, see what he's still got. Because we know with the Chiefs over the years, Mahomes can miss a game or two. It happens. And they're trying to win three Super Bowls here. Like, there's three straight. There are no excuses. Like, you don't get a redo on this opportunity. I would say it's unlikely they ever get this opportunity again. Is that fair? I mean, this feels like a one shot at this thing, kind of a deal.
I'd like to see a healthy dose. I mentioned this yesterday, a healthy dose of Carson Wentz throwing the ball to Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. That's what I would like to see in the preseason game. That's what I'm going to be paying attention to. And I hope that it goes well. I want to see both of those guys show out a little bit, because I do think that it is, at least in the realm of possibility, that one or both of them, I'm not suggesting that both of them are going to get cut necessarily, but that I would say they're battling for maybe a roster spot, maybe for a position on the depth chart at wide receiver. Figuring out exactly how they're going to fit in, if at all, to the Chiefs this season offensively. And so that's really what the biggest thing that I'm looking for and what I'm going to be paying attention to most.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm attending. I think left tackle is most. We'll get into this when we come back. Let's power rank our first preseason game storylines for the Chiefs. It won't be much, but why not? I mean, we're going to be watching anyway, so why not take a swing at it? What we want to see the most out of a preseason game in the first preseason game. At least there's only three of them now. Soon there'll probably only be two. That'll be awesome when that happens. All right, 869-1240, the IHOP hotline is open for you. All this football talk, by the way, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's start our second text giveaway. So remember, you have a chance to win tickets to the Mac Gun Show. Now we're going to give you a chance to win some HTO. And all you got to do that, more than 20 flavors, East and West Wichita and Derby, is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. You can also win some coffee. Fridays in August at HTO are buy one, get one free to celebrate back to school all day long. So never a better day than today. Get out there, check it out. Your chance to win again. T to 20357. Message and data rates apply. Good luck on that, everybody. We'll have a third giveaway in our second hour. But more Chiefs talk when we return on Sports Daily.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio. Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrocht and Tommy Kester.
All right, hour number two is underway here on Sports Daily, and we are glad to be with you. It is Jacob Albrocht, Tommy Kester. It is Jad Chambers manning that IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. That's a lot of pancakes. How many pancakes can you take down, Tommy, do you think, in one? You big pancake guy?
I've been known to demolish a stack of pancakes in my day, so I think I could probably do quite a few. That could be a fun challenge between you and me.
So, well, I tell you, though, like pancakes for me, I like pancakes, but I like all the other parts of breakfast way more. Like, I like a pancake as almost like a side. Like, if you're going to replace toast in a traditional, but I want the eggs, the meat, the potatoes far more than I want the pancake. So you take me down there. I will. I have done a pancake eating contest. I forgive me if I've told this story. So back in the days of Amarillo small market television, the sports guys, we would go on this road tour every summer and you would go to all the small towns, and somehow the sports guys got roped into doing all the wild and crazy challenges each town would offer, because, I mean, of course, we'll do anything, whatever. So we might do like the frozen cow tongue football contest, or I won a greased pig catching contest. They didn't know what they were getting in for from this farm boy. I took that thing down in like 2 seconds. But we did all kinds of eating contests, burgers, hot dogs, ice cream, which is the worst, I thought, until I tried a pancake eating contest. So we go to this small town and they're like, hey, there's the sports guys. We got one for you. We're going to do a pancake eating contest. I'm like, okay, that sounds fine. Not a big deal. And I tell this story. This story came up not too long ago. Now my buddy, Matt Hamilton, who's general manager of the Wind Surge, we were cohorts in TV. This was our content, that we were on this particular tour stop, and we go, and he can eat too. And look, I know I don't look like it, but I have one Chick-fil-A chicken nugget eating contest. Like, I can eat. Like, if you challenge me to a pizza eating contest, you're toast. If you challenge me to something like a chicken nugget, like, you're toast. I'll kill you in it. Pancakes, not so much. So we get there and I'm thinking, like, you know, a stack of pancakes, right? Like, I'm like, okay, yeah. I could do this. Yeah. This won't be too bad. Anything with bread, by the way, in an eating contest, go the other way. So we get there and it's almost like a deep dish pancake. So imagine like a pan, like a frying pan, right? And it's like this inch or 2 inch thick pancake. And it's huge. It's probably the equivalent of your standard frying pan. It's just a massive pancake. Brutal, absolutely brutal to try and take that thing down in that format. The hardest eating contest, hands down, I've ever done. So we're trying to get through it. I just get smashed. Matt does a better job. Like, he's there to the end. And I'm not kidding. This is small town, Texas Panhandle. He finally has to bow out. He might have puked, but he has to bow out. And on the other side of the table from us, one of the contestants, and maybe I'm embellishing this, but this is the way it lives in my head. I'm talking like overalls, no undershirt, big old boy. And not only does he finish his pancake, he finishes his pancake while staring us in the eye, right? Like, staring us down. And without skipping a beat, they didn't put syrup on there. They gave you syrup on the side. So he's got like this container of syrup, without skipping a beat, without breaking eye contact, finishes his pancake, takes that syrup shooter, and just downs it like a shot of whiskey. Never loses eye contact. I mean, just absolutely emasculating. Like, I it was bad. It was bad. So you would beat me in a pancake eating contest. I can almost guarantee it.
I think that I would beat you in a lot of different eating contests. I'm a little rusty. It's been a minute since I've done that.
You wouldn't. But as many as you think you would.
No, I think I would. And, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from your accomplishments back in the day. But if you put you and I next to each other and people look at you and I and we ask them who would win an eating contest, I guarantee you every single person would say that I would. And like, I agree with that. I think that I would.
You and everybody that I used to destroy in the eating contest.
I believe that I would.
I don't see it here. I don't know if I have it at home. It somewhere exists a chicken nugget, chicken eating contest that I took down against a bunch of firemen and cops and, you know, sheriff's deputies. I have a trophy for it. I don't know where that trophy is. It might be in my office at work. I got to find that trophy. I'll show you.
I mean, I did a burrito eating contest, you know, 10 years ago in radio here in Wichita, won that.
You allowed your beans and your meat to touch in a burrito? I'm proud of you.
Well, if it's an eating, there's a difference between eating to win a contest and eating to enjoy it.
So I would not, you'd get me in some, if it involves meat, I would say probably not. Like if we went, if we went thin crust pizza, Tommy, I would put you through the ground. If we went to something that
not like, a I chance,
I can just, now here's the question I would have for you though, in an eating contest, because this is important as local media honks have done a billion of these. Are you more, do you prefer like the amount of food or the speed at which you eat the food? So like the hot dog eating contest, right? The Nathan's, that's all about speed.
Yeah.
I have done both.
I think the best ones that I've been a part of and where I have the most success is you have a time limit to finish. So it's not necessarily how much you eat. You need to finish the meal within a certain time frame.
An amount of food over.
Right.
So the chicken nugget eating contest was sort of endless. They gave you a time at how many you could eat. Like, so it's how many you could eat in a certain amount of time. I actually prefer those versus like, you know, you have this obscene amount of food. Can you finish it? Like it's almost like a race. So that probably matters too. But I get made fun of in my family. Like I'm the trash compactor. If there are leftover anything, because I hate wasting food. Again, farm boy in me. I hate wasting food. I'll just clean everybody's plate. I know I don't look like it all the time. Nature's been good to me.
I think really the only competitions that I struggle with, yours might be pancakes or bread, sort of thing. For me, it's dairy. Like I couldn't do
ice cream is the way. That's not fun.
Like I've done those before, sure. And I don't do well with those. Yeah, and like I don't dairy do well and me sweet. Don't usually get along in general. Yeah. You know,
so that's
like
not a
good thing. But man, like you know, you mentioned thin crust pizza. Like man, I promise you, I would put you away in a thin crust pizza eating contest.
Well, let's get you know some of our let's we can figure out. Well, I don't know these things now. Like my recovery time as we're older is just brutal, but whatever. I don't back down from challenges. So maybe we can get something like that.
How about a beer drinking contest? Who would win in a beer drinking contest?
I'm confident. I'm pretty confident. I'm
pretty confident myself.
I haven't lost a lot of those in my day either. Again, don't do them nearly as often as I once did, but yeah. I would be relatively confident there. Wine drinking, you could take me down. You know, you could get me in a wine drinking contest. Ice cream eating contest, by the way. I went to, was it Riverfest that does the big ice cream eating contest? I did that one year and I was devastated because I had this strategy, right? Everybody's eating. It was hot. It was like 100 degrees or whatever it was. And I'm like, here we go. Here's what we're going to do. So I had this plan in my head. They start it and I just start stirring that ice cream. I'm just, because I was going to melt it and just drink it all. And then I would take down like the whole thing and everyone else is just miserable. And I was just going to chug it. And I can't remember. Something happened where my plan got derailed and it appeared that I took like four bites and I never felt I felt like such a loser. I don't remember. Something happened in the middle of it where that my plan like went terribly awry. But no, we could throw it down. We can throw it down. Anyway, IHOP has an all-you-can-eat pancake deal running through September 15th. That's what got us down that rabbit hole. We're talking Chiefs here. Tommy, before the break, we said, like, let's power rank the meaningful things we could actually take away from a first preseason game. I would say the easy top thing is left tackle, right? Like, what? How does the left tackle position look? I don't. It's probably unfair because that one seems pretty obvious to me. Is there another one that you would put up in that stratosphere?
That's probably number one. I think for me, number two, and I think it might actually be a close number two, would be running back, because we've heard a lot about Isaiah Pacheco. We've heard a little bit about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Denaric Prince has actually gotten a good amount of reps.
I don't think it's much of a question, because I think Prince is the clear cut backup.
But I want to see that. I want to see what that actually looks like in real time in a game. And because there have been times before where you've had players that have gotten a lot of reps in training camp. In fact, Denaric Prince last season was the talk of training camp. Him and Justin Ross, both of those guys were, and then they didn't really get much of an opportunity. And in Prince's case, didn't really get any opportunity at all. With a running back, the Chiefs, other than re-signing Clyde Edwards-Helaire, didn't do anything at the running back position. They let Jerick McKinnon go. They let Michael Pirine go.
What does that tell you?
I think it tells me that they feel more confident in their wide receivers, because Jerick McKinnon was doing a lot of his pass catching out of the backfield.
They're going to sling it this year. That's why I've been so in on Mahomes statistically, is that was sort of the first thing to me where I was like, huh, they're just going to run it back with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That doesn't seem like a weapon. That seems like he knows the offense just in case. And then Prince, that was the first time where I was like, man, and then of course they draft Worthy and they do all these things. Yeah. And now as time plays out, they are going to sling it. I honestly, I'm thinking back to like 2019, 2020 style Chiefs is what they have in their brains. They had Kareem Hunt back in those days, right? It wasn't like, what I'm saying, that it's not like a knock on Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco can catch the ball. Pacheco can pass protect. So I almost, when I say they're going to sling it, it's not like I mean that Pacheco becomes a smaller part of the offense. I don't mean that at all, but I mean the pace is going to pick up. Like, they're going to just try to run people to death using Tony as a gadget guy. Like, all of these things I feel like they're going to pick it up and look more like those early Mahomes Chiefs offenses than we have had in the last, I don't know, we call it 3 years, probably, where it's been a little more paced and controlled and, you know, dink and dunk and all of that stuff. I don't think that's going to happen. And I do think the running backs are a part of that. I'm with you on that position. I just want to know if Prince is good enough. You know what I mean? Because they had that chance last year and it didn't happen. So what's changed?
They had more personnel at that position group last year, where Prince was kind of the odd man out. I mean, remember, Pirine was there, and of course McKinnon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They had quite a few people behind Isaiah Pacheco, where Prince ended up being the odd man out. I think that they also felt like, because he was an undrafted free agent, that they felt like he was an exciting talent. They liked his skill set, that it might serve him well to have a year to, you know, not be in that position. They clearly like his development enough to where he's been getting those reps in training camp. That's why I'm interested to see how that plays out in an actual preseason game. Will they give him those reps in the game, or was it just, again, another year of a lot of excitement in training camp, but then really nothing materializes?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is Prince good enough? Do you think Prince is good enough?
I think Prince has the raw talent to be good enough. And of course the Chiefs wouldn't have signed him as an undrafted free agent if they didn't think so either.
You know, I don't think it matters too much. Look, if this offense had to run through Clyde Edwards-Helaire back there, I think they would be okay. They wouldn't be as dynamic. There's no question about that. Pacheco is a weapon, and I'm not sure either of those guys you would say are a weapon. You know what I mean? I think that's the big difference. Those guys are fine placeholders. Those guys probably give them the ability to do what they need to do. But Isaiah Pacheco is a bona fide weapon for this offense. Let's hope he stays healthy. And I said this yesterday, I would be totally fine if we didn't see Isaiah Pacheco play a snap in the preseason. What about on the defensive side of the ball? Because I think there are clearly questions over there. I just don't think we ever get much out of the preseason on that side. I don't think we're going to see much. Spags isn't going to show anything that he would do in the regular season. So while I want to watch the secondary and see how those guys and the young players and, you know, can Felix Anudike use them, I don't think they're going to get much of an opportunity to show you what they'd show you in the regular season. So I think it's a fine thing to want to see. I just don't think we will actually see it.
I go back to the secondary. That's really where it lines up to me because of those players that at least last season, we saw them in spurts and flashes as backups and second stringers, even special teamers, that now the Chiefs are going to be leaning on in the absence of Legarius Sneed. And will they get game time, and will it be productive for them in the secondary? Will they get a chance to shine? And the names stand out as the players that you would think are going to be filling that role at various levels, whether that's Connor or Williams or, you know, whoever. But there are others too that I know, because if you've got players that now have to slide in that starting role, that first string role to replace Legarius Sneed, well, then you need to have somebody fill the backup slot, the second team spot, the special teamers. And there could very well be some players out there that, you know, we haven't thought about. One other quick thing, just real quick, going back to the running back room that I have forgotten about a lot that we haven't mentioned, is they've got the rugby guy, right? Like, and I don't know exactly how that's all going to pan out. Is that fun? Is it just fun? Is that a legitimate thing? Will he solidify himself as somebody that can be in the running back room as a gadget type guy?
I think they want him on special teams.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other obvious answer to this question is special teams, by the way. You're not going to show anything in the return game, but I do think it'll matter who is returning, even though they're not going to show you much. And then who kicks? Do they go with Reed? He's been a little nicked up. Do they go with Butker? How does that look? Not so much even for the Chiefs, but in general football. I am curious because, look, I haven't watched the videos. I didn't watch the XFL. Like, I need to see it. Yep. I got to just see it. League-wide.
Do you have an interest in seeing Matt Araiza and what he can do now as the new punter for the team? Like, does that matter to you?
Absolutely not. No. I mean, the Chiefs aren't going to be punting much. So, yeah, I hope he can punt, but I just don't really care. because and that's unfair to, because Townsend was important to them last year. That field positioning and all that stuff really mattered to that team. I just think we're looking at a totally different situation. I will be shocked if they punt nearly as often as they did a year ago. This doesn't strike me as the kind of offense that's going to be in that business this year. Two different seasons, two different teams, two totally different offenses. I just don't think they'll, I mean, yeah, maybe he'll be awesome. He certainly can bomb it. I just don't think he'll get very many opportunities with the Chiefs because I don't think they intend to punt very often. That's not the way they'll be built this year. I don't think they're good enough defensively, at least on paper, until we see it, to play that kind of football. And I don't think they have any interest in playing that kind of football offensively. But who knows? Things happen, and you're glad a talented guy's on the roster. They certainly lost a talented punter. We'll have more on that before we let you go today. We'll get you all the details on how you can hear the game over on the home of the Chiefs, KNSS. When we come back, we'll bounce around again. A little bit of Royals, maybe from a betting perspective. We've got an interview coming up this hour, too, with a big charity event coming to town. So we'll get into that as well. It's all coming for you here in hour number two of Sports Daily. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy, did I miss something on the kicks? Andy Reid, did he say Butker was going to handle kickoff duties?
Yeah, if he did, that was not anything that I saw. So
I didn't see that either. No. Jad, did you see that, Jad?
I vaguely remember seeing something like that. But
he might have. I could have missed it. I could have missed it. And we'll see. I mean, look, I think the reality with a kickoff is I'm not sure anybody really has a good grasp of it yet. If they feel like Butker's a liability out there making tackles, then that's where Reid makes sense. But you have to be able to place it in a pretty particular area. So it's not like just anybody can do it. So we'll keep an eye on that. I do feel like we're going to get a lot of kick return touchdowns, and I think it's going to be really awesome and exciting, by the way. I think it's going to be really cool. I can't wait for it. Tommy, the Royals tonight, let's take a quick look here at the bets. So they're favored. But, you know, with Lorenzen on the mound, it's not like an overwhelming, you know, I think they're minus 115. Let me double check that here. Minus 120, I'm seeing them. You can get, you know, if you can get better odds, obviously, if you give a couple of runs. I don't know how to approach the matchup itself with Lorenzen on the mound at this point, quite frankly. But then you go to those player props, and you take the two hottest Royals and you can just kind of keep going with them a little bit. I love the total bases. I think the total hits can get a little deceiving, remember, because walks don't count to that. So I like total bases. Bobby Witt Jr. Still catching plus money at over 2.5, which means, you know, a home run or a double and a single or a walk and a double and all that, you're there. And then Benny, you can get plus money on over 1.5. So a walk and a hit basically gets you there. I kind of like both of those. I think you keep beating that drum, banging that drum until those guys slow down a little bit.
My favorite thing, I think, in the game tonight specifically is I love the over in this game. The Royals and the Cardinals have gone over in 3 of their last 4 meetings. And so I think that trend is there. And then also you look at Michaelis pitching for the Cardinals. His ERA is high. It's over 5. He's been historically a pretty good pitcher in Major League Baseball, hasn't had a great year. His ERA, like I mentioned, is high. And so I think that comes into play. And Lorenzen, while he's been an overall good pitcher this year, he can give up runs also. So the over that line is, I think, at 9.5. I like that over in tonight's game, and that's what I'm going to ride with.
Yeah, I could be there. Let me just see real quick. So if I took Witt over 2.5 and put it with Vinny over 1.5 together, that parlays into a plus 355. I kind of like that. Basically, it's just a bet for those two to stay hot. And maybe I go there. You like the over. That would lean into that too. It just means they're gonna be producing a little bit of offense. But it's a 7:10 start tonight. I'm actually thinking about going to the game tomorrow, but it'll be fun. I'm curious to see an atmosphere and how big a rivalry. I don't have a good grasp of the rivalry, the Cardinals-Royals rivalry. But from what I see in reaction, like when the Royals swept that doubleheader earlier in this year, people get really fired up for it. It's hard for me to imagine that, because other than just like some chance interleague meetings, like it's not like they have a long history of playing each other.
Well, but you got to go back to the 85 World Series. I mean, that's really where a lot of that stems from, is, you know, those two teams facing off in the I-70 series, you know, for basically the whole shebang. And the Royals, of course, got the win in that series. And so you've got that rivalry because of that. You know, they're down the road from each other a few hours. And, you know, that's been a pretty big deal for a long time. And so that's, I think, a major reason, probably the biggest reason, as to why usually those dates are circled on the calendar. And I think that the other thing, too, is that the Cardinals have had a long history of success year after year after year, it seems like, where they're always in the mix. They're always going to the playoffs, winning World Series, things like that. The Royals, you know, look at their counterparts across the state. They haven't had that sustained level of success. And so there's always kind of been, I think, that jealousy also that plays into it. So these are usually big games between these two teams.
It's a fun rivalry. It's obviously the Kansas City St. Louis thing. I'm looking forward to it. Again, though, like it doesn't feel the same way that the other series recently have felt. But then you get that rivalry piece, and that's what I haven't really had a good grasp or understanding on. So that will be fun to see. I am curious to see Lorenzen again, and we'll see. You know, we haven't still, Tommy. We keep asking this question. We still haven't seen the preferred. We still haven't seen the preferred way to end a game for the Royals. Like, what does the bullpen stack up at the end of the game? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And I mean, it seems like Will Smith has been kind of the guy recently that Quintero is leaning into. And like I mentioned yesterday, I think that they're priming him to, I think, ideally want to be back in some of those high leverage situations, because that's why they brought him in to the ball club this season as a free agent. And so I do think that more than likely we'll continue to see him until or unless he gives the Royals a reason to not put him back in that kind of role. But of course the upside is high on Lucas Ersig, and can Hunter Harvey get things turned around? So, you know, at the end of the day, like he's going to ride the hot hand in that bullpen in those situations. I don't think that we're anywhere close to a scenario where Quintero knows exactly who his late innings guy is going to be night in and night out. It's going to be the hot hand.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see it. 7:10 first pitch. You'll hear it right here on KFH. All right, Tommy, set us up here, because we have some guests joining the show now for a big event that we're part of, that we're excited about, a charity event coming up next weekend. It is the All Ball event. Tim Tebow, we've been giving away some tickets to this. So while we get this set up, I'm going to set up that giveaway here for the hour. So here's what we have. You can win a pair of tickets to the All Ball Shepherd's Way fundraiser, the portion that features Tim Tebow. We got August 16th and 17th at Crown Uptown Theater. Shepherd's Way is a residential career development program committed to empowering young adults or adults with intellectual developmental disabilities. So Tim Tebow is going to be joined by some local legends that include Gene Stevenson, Phil Stevenson, PJ Forbes, Mike Pelfrey, Nate Robertson, Garrett Gould, and more. All you got to do to win a pair of tickets to this cool event is text the keyword Tim, T-I-M, to 20357. Message and data rates apply on that. Winners will get some signed Tebow memorabilia, we're told, as well. So to enter, text Tim to 20357. Tommy?
Yeah, we're really excited to have a couple of special guests here on the show with us, PJ and Stephanie Forbes, here on Sports Daily. PJ and Stephanie, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks
for having us.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's going to be such a fun time next weekend. And, you know, Jacob, you just mentioned some of the events going on. I mean, we've got two full days of events with this All Ball weekend benefiting Shepherd's Way. And, you know, PJ, I'll start with you. As far as your involvement in this event here in Wichita, I know obviously you're a former Shocker, but being involved in an event like this in Wichita for, you know, such a great cause, what does that mean for you?
Well,
it's exciting, first of all, Dorian Graham and then Ben and Brittany French.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Getting us involved, very exciting for us to be able to give back in whatever way possible. Wish we could do more. Talked to Ben yesterday about that. But just to be involved and a part of it, very excited and looking forward to next weekend and everything it brings.
So when you look at the weekend, I mean, is it the softball that gets you the most excited? I think that's what. So Tommy and I are just, you know, simply going to be out there trying to make everybody laugh and have a good time. You guys get out there and play. I love these kinds of events. Especially when you're getting people one of the best days of their lives on the other side of it.
Yeah, I volunteered to coach. The playing days have passed me by. I said I'll be opposite of Gene. Gene can have one team and I'll take the other. But it is, I can't wait to see the looks on everybody's face tomorrow. I know it's going to be, or not tomorrow, next weekend. I know it's going to be a great day. And just looking forward to the support that and not only the support, but the recognition that Shepherd's Way is, you know, getting all that out there and being a part of it. Very excited.
Stephanie, how about you? I mean, as far as, the involvement that you guys have in this event and, you know, being able to be involved in it and to help out Shepherd's Way here in Wichita and what they do for, folks in the community that are developmentally disabled and finding good, great and better opportunities for them. What does that mean for you?
Well, I'm just really grateful that, we've been able to be a part of it, because we weren't really familiar with the organization before we were asked to get involved. And so now just having the awareness that it's there, we're looking forward to learning more about it in the next few weeks, even beyond the All Ball Weekend. And we're super excited. We've got 6 children and we're excited for them to learn more and to maybe, be an opportunity for them to even get more involved. And so we're always grateful for an opportunity to help in the community and just be a part of something really, really big.
So there's the Tebow portion of this. And by the way, again, text the keyword Tim to 20357. To get involved in that part of it. There's the softball part of it. You can go find the information at all-ballweekend.org. And I know Ben is watching us. We appreciate Ben. Here's some other information. You can reach out to Ben directly at 316-214-0060. You can also reach out to Dorian at 316-209-4608. But again, all-ballweekend.org is the place to be. There's all kinds of cool stuff in here. I mean, Tebow's coming to town, right? Have you guys yeah. had an opportunity to meet Tebow before?
We have not, but we are actually in Gainesville, Florida right now. We just stopped by his Heisman statue. We're going to go back and take a picture in front of it. Our daughter is graduating from the University of Florida tonight. So we're going to go back by the football stadium, take a picture of it, and make sure we show it to him when we do get to meet him. But I've heard nothing but great things about having him speak in events. I'm sure he will get people fired up for Shepherd's Way and the All Ball Weekend, and really looking forward to meeting him after all he's done in his years after football and the awareness he brings to special events.
PJ, not to put you on the spot here, but I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about your thoughts on Shocker baseball. Brian Green, new head coach for the Shocker baseball team. It really seems like there's a lot of excitement and things like that growing and building. And, you know, of course, having Gene Stephenson with his full support on the program. What does that mean to you as far as where Shocker baseball is right now and where it's headed in the future?
Well, I think I went out to a game, spent the evening with Gene and Phil Stephenson in their box. And, Gene's obviously spent a lot of time around the program, so I trust his opinion. He's very excited about Brian and what he's bringing to the program. We know it's going to be a step-by-step process to get Shocker baseball back to where we all want it. And that's the main thing for me. I want Shocker baseball back in the mix and being talked about year in and year out when it comes to June, because that's when, regional, super regionals, College World Series take place. I think everyone involved and on the periphery, we just want to see it back to the years, the glory years of the late 80s, early 90s. And people want to support it. I mean, it's Gene built it, and people want to support it. We've just got to put a winning program out there, and we'll have that support back.
It does feel like that support is bleeding into it. Now we just got to have the wins on the field, certainly. And I think everybody seems to be rowing in the same direction. All right, so if you're watching us on our video stream, we're talking about the big All Ball Weekend. What we're going to do right now is, for the first time on a video stream, bring in a fourth guest. We've been chatting. Ben is on the other side here. So we're going to bring Ben in. Not to use a baseball term, but we wish you could see in a little inside baseball here, Ben. We're trying to juggle this, and I'm like messaging everybody. I'm like, do we need to get Ben in? How are we doing this? But I'm glad you're here too, because I want to know more about Shepherd's Way, because that's the benefit here of all of this fun. Tell us about Shepherd's Way for anybody out there that doesn't know about that organization.
Yeah. Hey, thank you guys for having me. You know, it's I always like to start even broader. You know, as we think about, we're talking about Wichita baseball, right? We're talking about Tim Tebow coming to town to excite people about a vision. And so I like to think about the even not just Shepherd's Way, but the broader community of Wichita, right? And so this is a big, fun event that we're putting on that we hope would really move the needle in shifting the paradigm of how we recognize and embrace the value of individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities in our community, and that our community would then become a model community for other communities around the country. Because there's, you know, today, guys, our organization gets up and drives on the work that we're doing every day, because we're passionate about filling a gap and a need and quite honestly, a burden of 5,300 adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities just in the state of Kansas, who have graduated from high school and have entered the really kind of the historic life trajectory for these guys with intellectual and developmental disabilities, is that they enter into an adulthood of lifelong dependency on a family or a caregiver. And then when they inevitably outlive that caregiver, fall into a system that costs us $2.3 million tax dollars just to meet their basic needs. And so that all of that said, I'll circle back to your question of Shepherd's Way is trying to rewrite that life trajectory for one day these 5,300 individuals today on a smaller scale than that. But essentially, our organization serves to exist as the bridge that helps individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities transition out of the margin of society and into a flourishing, value-contributing, employed member of the community. And so I mentioned the $2.3 million tax dollars in the system just to meet basic needs. For $2.2 million less than that, what we found is that we can have a really strategic four-phase program that helps launch adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities into independent, community engaged, and purpose-driven lives. And so it's that's our passion, that's our heartbeat, but really the bigger vision is we want to transform the landscape of housing, independent living, employment, dignity, and purpose for adults with disabilities in communities across the country. So kind of how that works is we start with a really intensive career development program where we're working on, you know, all of the ancillary life skills that are going to help sustain employment. We're doing the career exploration to figure out what is fulfilling work for our friends with disabilities, and then building in all the soft skills that are required to sustain that employment track, right? And so the executive functions, the social skills, self-awareness skills, all those pieces that are maybe a little more intangible that we kind of overlook, that's what our team's really good at digging in and helping equip our friends with disabilities with. Once I've got a job and I've got a career path and I've got income, then I can move out of that state of dependency on family, right? And I can move out into the community in a peer living setting. And that's a three-phase housing program. So we actually, it's such a fun program model because we get to see growth on two different sides. You know, I loved what Stephanie said earlier about how she was excited for her kids to get involved and learn more. And, you know, what we do is we hire college students or young professionals to live as roommates and peer mentors to help coach peer-to-peer life skills that are going to help these guys launch into a flourishing adulthood and not end up in a system. Right. And so it's cool, though, to see the growth of not just the participant that we're serving, but this is a life changing thing for those peer mentors at a really formidable age, you know, in college. And so that three phase program looks like a 4-bedroom setting initially with 2 mentors, 2 program participants over the course of 6 to 12 months. Our heart is to empower, right, not to enable dependency. And so we cut back that support by 50% in the second phase after 6 to 12 months with a 3-bedroom setting, just 1 peer mentor, and then eventually 4 guys who have been through the program, no peer mentors. And that's in that setting where we're able to work on what are those, you know, sustainable supports that are needed to help those guys launch out of the program and be able to sustain their level of independence and purpose and impact for a lifetime. And so that was a probably longer winded than what you were looking for, but I'm super passionate about the work that we do. And it's so fun to get to be on with you guys and get to connect with really just remarkable people like PJ and Stephanie and the other people who have said, yes, we care about these people in our community who have historically been overlooked. And we want to be a part of this event that's going to help bring awareness to empowering them. So,
well, Ben, we're flattered that you asked us to be involved. We're happy to do it. Really looking forward to the weekend. Again, Ben French, the CEO of Shepherd's Way. If you want to learn more about Shepherd's Way, it's shepherds-way.org. If you want to learn more about All Ball Weekend, which is a really fun, exciting event coming next weekend, that's all-ballweekend.org. You can also win those tickets, by the way. We'll keep giving those away. All you got to do there is text the keyword Tim to 20357. Thank you to PJ and Stephanie. Thank you to Ben. We will be out there next week, and we'll talk more about this next week as well with some of the local legends you guys have signed up to be a part of this. Looks like it's going to be a blast, and we appreciate you guys all being on Sports Daily, and thanks for joining us on a multi-video guest maiden voyage here as well.
Great to be with you guys.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Last full segment of Sports Daily right after this. All right. Lots of good stuff there. Looking forward to that All Ball weekend. Thanks to our guests there for coming on and talking about it. We'll have more on that next week and more opportunities for you to win tickets to the event as well. Should be a lot of fun. All right, Tommy. Well, you know, we have got a quick segment here. I think we're pretty much covered on the things we need to cover. Brandon Ayuk still has not been traded. CeeDee Lamb still does not have a contract. Those are the other two big storylines, I think, floating around the NFL right now. I don't know. You know, we always try to see if these things affect the Chiefs. I do think if Brandon Ayuk is traded, it is a major win for the Chiefs. I don't think the Cowboys are real contenders, so I don't think that matters, but those are sort of the two big storylines. And we just watch the preseason. We'll see.
Well, yeah, I think the third, I mean, I'm surprised you haven't brought it up as a Cowboys fan, the drama with CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jones. And I don't know if you saw that. Jerry Jones said there's no urgency in getting a new contract done for CeeDee. CeeDee responded and just with an LOL on social media. So that's out there too. I've seen like all of these pundits talking about what a potential Chiefs and Cowboys trade could look like for CeeDee Lamb to go to Kansas City. It's not happening. I saw a proposed trade that could be CeeDee Lamb in exchange for Rashee Rice and two first rounders. And I'm like, there's no way that Kansas City would even entertain that idea.
Well, I didn't know they would do that. I didn't entertain it, but Kansas City can't afford the CeeDee Lamb contract, so it doesn't matter.
Brett Veach values draft capital so much.
He trades first round picks all the time. He trades for left tackles all the time. He doesn't care.
But he does value the cheapness of draft picks when you are able to bring them into your team and you've got them locked in for a period of time and not much money. CeeDee Lamb wants a massive contract. There's no way that they would be able to accommodate that.
Don't misunderstand.
They'd rather have the control. They'd rather have the control of Rashee Rice at a cheaper rate than CeeDee Lamb.
There is no way they would do the deal because they can't afford CeeDee Lamb. They can't afford CeeDee Lamb, so it doesn't matter. But I do think Brett Veach doesn't care about trading first-round picks. They took a risk on Felix Anudike Uzama in the first round. They've traded Frank Clark, Orlando Brown. Like, they don't mind doing it for a star player like that. And CeeDee Lamb is a star player. He's a superstar. But they can't afford him, so it's irrelevant. They couldn't sign him to the deal he wants. It's a joke. Whatever. Cowboys. We'll come back. We'll tell you how to watch and listen to everything this weekend next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.